Welcome to Unexplained Oregon. We're so glad that you're here. Last episode, we covered the mysterious basement in the historic building in downtown Medford, the Woolworth Building. You also heard from a new friend of the podcast, Alicia. But what really drew us to Alicia, of course, is that she likes creepy things like we do, but y'all, she has actually seen a ghost. So once I heard that, once I heard her story, I knew there was no turning back. I knew I had to interview her. I knew that there was more. And I would just say that not only has she been a chef for over 20 years, but her life story is so interesting. She's so fun. I could do a whole episode just on her if she'd let me. But I'm so happy that she agreed to sit down with us and talk to us about some creepy things that have happened to her. Her first experience was around 9 years old when she was staying at her grandparents' house in Nevada City, California. Now, this house was old. It was built in 1896, but was actually registered in 1903. It was the only stop for the Pony Express in Nevada City, and the original owner of the home actually fell down the stairs in her wheelchair to her death. Several others have also died in the home, and a family member dreamt as a child of tumbling down those very stairs. Visitors have claimed of feeling someone behind them in the hallway. And a young family member who lives there says that there's a monster downstairs and a monster in the hallway. And the list goes on and on. We're so thankful to Alicia for sharing her stories with us. We really hope we haven't scared her off. We hope she comes back again. And remember, if you're ever in Southern Oregon and you're hungry, don't forget to stop by Luncheonette in the historical Woolworth Building. It's worth your time. The atmosphere is amazing. The food is great. And let us know what you think about this episode.
Okay, so I was 9. Ish, I think 9 or 10. So what's that, third grade or so? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this house is in Nevada City. It's on Sacramento Street. Nevada City, California is a Victorian mining town. It's rich with minor 49er history. And some of the first gold ever discovered in California was there. So my grandparents bought the house around the time I was born in 1972. And my grandparents were antique dealers for 50 years. So they just brought all the antiques into that Victorian home. So lots of old, old stuff in there. And the house itself was kind of a little bit dilapidated. They later kind of remodeled it and built on a newer part of it, but it just was, they were old-timey. The stuff they brought into the house was old-timey, and the house itself was just rich with history. So this ghost sighting happened when, like I said, I was about 9 or 10, and I was hanging out with my stepsister, and she was a year and a half older than me. So we were kids, and we were up too late at night, and we were not supposed to be still awake. And it was like 2 or 3 in the morning, and we were up to no good. We were like drawing on the wall and being, you know, just kids. And, the two of us, because we were so close in age, we really had fun having a sister suddenly. You know, we didn't have that before. So we were up too late, carrying on, and we were in this little side bedroom. So it was like the first tiny room inside, upstairs, and what divided like the downstairs and the upstairs was this old door, and the door had one of these locks on it where it's like a heavy duty iron lock you have to lift up this bit and slide it over into the locking mechanism. I don't know how to describe it very well, but like you lift it up, you slide it over, and then you would just drop the thing because you were done locking it, and it would go ka-ka-chin. And we were used to that sound because that's how you lock the door. Well, when my grandparents go to sleep at night, further on down the hallway, scary hallway, they were already well in bed. They went to bed early. They were old. Suddenly, well, you know, it's like 3 a.m, we're sitting there carrying on. All of a sudden, we heard the k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k-k- stopped talking and looked at the doorway in anticipation of getting in trouble, you know, because we were up too late and drawing on the wall. And it wasn't my either one of my grandparents that walked by. It was a woman in a nightgown, and she just like stopped in the doorway and looked at us and went, and then turned and then just kept on going down that freaky hallway. And we were so scared that, I mean, I think probably our hair stood on end. We were gripping onto each other so tightly. I mean, I don't remember like full bladder release peeing, but like we peed. We were so scared. We were looking at each other. We were looking at the doorway. We were transfixed. We couldn't take our eyes off the doorway because for sure she was coming back. She didn't. We never saw her again. But, you know, after a few hours of like gripping onto each other and crying and being so scared, it started to get light out. You know, it was morning. And so as soon as it got light, we like, okay, we're going to go down. You know, well, I didn't see my grandpa go downstairs. I don't know, you know, whatever, how he got down there. But as soon as we could, we ran down the stairs to tell him. We could smell bacon and coffee, and we knew he was up and doing his grandpa thing in the morning. And ran down there and told him, Grandpa, we saw a ghost. We saw a ghost. And he was absolutely just like, oh, yeah, did you want bacon this morning? He, like, wouldn't speak to it. Wouldn't acknowledge it. And I just remember being so frustrated by that because we wanted him to say, oh, it's okay, or, oh, that's, you know, whatever, Molly the friendly ghost, like something, acknowledge it, something. He wouldn't do it. He just would not acknowledge it. That's the one and only real ghost sighting. Unfortunately, my sister has passed away, so we can't call her in to get her to weigh in on this. But I have no doubt at all that she would completely corroborate and say, oh, yeah, and tell her side of it, too, you know.
What did the ghost look like?
She just looked like an older woman, kind of white, in a white gown. I mean, it wasn't a fancy gown. It looked like a nightgown. My grandma didn't wear a nightgown like that. So she just looked old and irritated.
What color hair did she have?
Whitish gray. I mean, it was all just kind of a whitey gray visage. I don't know. It was just very odd. Not anything that either of us or, you know, it's not this, it like, it didn't look, she didn't look human. She didn't look normal, but she looked pissed. She looked like we were really bothering her. And that was her sound. Kind of a mumble, not like a growl, but like, for sure there are places in that house that are still scary. You cannot and could not walk up the stairs casually ever, never. You had to run every single time because you could feel pressure pushing from behind you or just being like the hair on the back of your neck would stand up. You could try to walk, and we did. We would try all the time, and we could never do it. We would have to run. So that is pretty much still the case, I would say. But on the other side of the stairs, that's where they built on a new part of the house. So it's like not as scary now, but it that pressure is the same for the aforementioned creepy hallway. Same. You can't, and that carpet that's in there is the same carpet that came with the house. It's a rug. It's a Victorian runner, and it goes from the middle of like what I guess it was like a fancy dining room, to the front, the sitting room, and to the front of the house, the front entrance. So good luck walking down that hallway casually ever. Like, I challenge you. I don't think you could do it. I don't think anybody can do it. My sister lives in the house. Her kids, forget it. They're like, no. And the furnace room. Okay, and there's also a wine cellar in there that is like so dark and scary. But the furnace room, I think, really does have like bad vibes. Yeah, and my sister who lives there now, what did she say recently? We talked about it. Something like she was afraid of getting sucked in the void when she opened the door. Like, she just doesn't go in there. Yeah. But, you know, when I was, like, young, my mom, who, you know, my mom and dad were just getting together and they were teenagers and young, she would say, oh, yeah, that house is haunted, you know. So, but I never really knew what she meant by it until I was older, and then I knew what she meant by it because we were always scared. We were always scared in the house. Somebody had been buried in the backyard, apparently, but they paved it over. They put a whole, like, driveway down into the back of the house back there, so. It's so weird. I was just there recently, and the old, like, 49 Buick is still sitting out there, and, you know, a lot of the yard ornaments and stuff that my grandparents had put out there are still there, kind of half buried, and some of them have their heads knocked off, and it's such a bizarre place. That was my first acquaintance with such phenomena. The next thing, I guess, would be when I was 19, I moved to Portland, Oregon with my new husband and friends, and we rented a house on 69th and Mount Tabor. It's Mount Tabor in Portland. Super dilapidated little house. The front of the house was like a real estate office, and the guy who worked in there, Mert, we called him Mert the Squirt, I can't believe he rented this house to us, knowing that we were a ragtag group of youngsters, partiers, and that the house was just so messed up. That house had bad vibes. We definitely collectively and individually felt and confirmed that there were other beings or spirits or entities or something was going on there. You know, we did sometimes invite it more times than others. But one guy that lived with us, he seemed particularly susceptible or vulnerable to the energy in that house, and proceeded to just get dark and darker and darker. And we were like, what is going on with you, guy? Like, should we help you? Or like, what's happening? He painted his room black, and he just went into like the death spiral of depression, and had barbed wire up on his wall and pictures of like starving, like famine, and like he just like went there, and we're like, uh-oh. We're gonna have to move out. And we did. We moved out because it was too much, you know. It's too much. We're like trying to be happy hippies and have an organic garden. But I did end up dreaming in that house, my grandparents' house, for 10 years. So after that, moved to the Bay Area and was no longer married and had a new partner and moved to Oakland in a really nice house, an upscale neighborhood, and proceeded to dream in my grandparents' house almost every night for like 10 years. And it was just drove me nuts, really. I just really didn't like it. You know, I should be entitled to have other dreams in other places, or so something, obviously, some kind of deep psychological situation was occurring. And it was, it wasn't always the same dream. It was always a different scenario, but inevitably it would be in one room or another. It was there. It was in that house. Like being, not even like being trapped, but like, yeah, I'm trapped in this house. Can I please dream somewhere else? And I'm sure I did in 10 years. I probably dreamt other places, but it was the majority. And then when I moved out of that house and I moved to Los Angeles, I stopped dreaming in my grandparents' house, and I was so grateful. I just noticed it one day, like, oh, wait, I haven't dreamt in that house for a while. Nice. And I hadn't gone back to visit. So the last time I visited the house, my dad passed away in 2009, and I went there for his memorial, and then that was it. But I hadn't been back there until just this Thanksgiving. So that's a long time. I was nervous to go there. It was a trip. So the main entrance, well, there's two entrances. One to the stairs. So if you drive like down into the driveway, there's a door back down there that goes to that stairway that you have to run up. So you can choose that if you want to. Or you could go in the front door and choose the hallway that you also have to run down. So it's like either way. We went in the front door, and immediately to the left is the door that goes into the what was like the sitting room, and it has like, it still has some antiques in there, but they're all covered over with sheets. Nice. And like old organs and things that my sister's like, we can't even give these away. Like the historical society, we thought we could, you know, we had a somebody, and they were like, no, we don't want it after all. So there's all this old stuff that nobody wants. There's a few settees, there's a few cabinets, curio cabinets and stuff like that in there still, with random weird doll heads and stuff in it. And then to the right is what we always called the front bedroom. And that was always my grandpa's bedroom. So we had to stay there in that front bedroom. And I was scared all night. I was like peeking out of the covers, like, am I going to see something? And my sister was teasing me in the morning. She's like, did you stay up all night waiting for ghosts? Yeah. Did you see any? No. I don't think she's seen anything, but she acknowledges that there are, whatever, energies, ghosts. Something is definitely still there in the house, for sure. And it's weird. I mean, a lot of the stuff from my childhood is still in the house. So I grew up in Ashland. I rarely came to Medford. And we had, you know, a rivalry, Ashland-Medford rivalry. So it was always like, man, Medford, thumbs down, you know. And I felt that way for 30 years, you know. I never wanted to do it. I said I would never come back to this area. I never thought I would move back here. But I did. The only thing that I would like when I'm driving through Medford is to see this Woolworth building. Because I grew up around antiques, and because I've always had sort of an affinity for retro vibes, I loved the look of it. I loved the chrome siding. I like the big letters. I like the red, you know. I tend to buy my appliances are red and chrome and things like that, so I'm attracted to it. Anytime I drive through Medford, I'd be like, oh, there it is, you know, and kind of like smile at it and look at it and think about it. And I've been a chef for 20 years, and I've always in the back of my mind thought that someday I will have my own restaurant. Someday I will do it. You know, I work for many chefs and many restaurant owners, and someday I would do my own thing. And I always thought about, I love diners. I love grilled cheese. I would choose a diner over fine dining any day of the week. I did know about the history of diners in the Woolworth buildings. There was one in Eugene when I was in college that was still open. And I always just thought that was so cool. That sort of wraparound lunch counter, you know. And in the back of my mind, I love the name Luncheonette. I've always liked that name. I just like stuck it in my back pocket. And then one day I found out that the little restaurant in the Woolworth building was available for rent. And I was like, what? And I was not pleased with my current job. Just not doing my craft, not making my art, just sitting behind a computer all day long, and COVID, and all of that, and a lot of support for making big moves, and I think a lot of people were doing some navel gazing and figuring out who am I, what am I doing, what, you know, you have a lot of time on your hands to think about it. I thought, if I don't bust a move and open my own spot now, I probably won't ever do it. So I inquired and I got no response. And I kept inquiring for like a month or more. And I just saw that it was empty. And I just kept thinking, like, why won't they call me back? I've been leaving all these messages and I was serious about it, and I, like, I don't know, I think I must have left a spicy message or something. Why won't you people call me back? Anyway, somebody finally called me back, and they said, yeah, do you want to come and look at it today? And I was like, yes. Yes, I do. I came down here, and he says, okay, so, yeah, this is the, and also, you get a prep room downstairs in the basement. Comes with this unit. And I said, okay, let's go. Go check it out. So the only way into the basement, as it turns out, is the elevator. Well, I guess from the main floor, the elevator or the stairs that are in my unit. And by the way, they are painted this old green, which is the original color of the floor in my grandparents' house. And I think it's also the original color of a lot of old floors, that green. They used it. It must have been a cheap paint color back in the day, 100 years ago or something, whatever. That paint on those stairs is original. So he takes me down there, and it's like so creepy just from the outside. Just going down the stairs and opening the door into the basement is like, ah. It's super dark down there. There are bugs running around, and there are a bunch of like cavernous, they're not really rooms. They're like spaces, I would say, because they don't have doors. I mean, there are a few places down there that have doors, but mostly they're like caged off. It's very weird. He showed me the room down there, and it's like, you do not want to get trapped in that room. You do not even want to go in that room. I'm paying for a room that I never, ever want to go into. I thought about trying to sublease it or something. I thought, that's just cruel. Like, who would who would even want that? I don't know.
But what's in the room?
Here's the thing. There's a water heater for my unit. There's a bunch of shelving and stuff in there. The unit that I've rented used to belong to a pharmacist, pharmacy. It was Christian's Pharmacy. And I guess it was like the most popular pharmacy in Oregon at one time. It had more live prescriptions than any other pharmacy in Oregon. And it was like a super old druggist, and his son ran it. And so that room downstairs has these tons of like really shallow shelves. I think it must have been like backstock for pharmaceuticals. I'm guessing that's what it is. What was left in there, because there was a restaurant renting it prior to me, was a lot of random leftover restaurant stuff. Crusty, kind of weird, like things that are too big, you know, pots and pans that are way too big that you could never use. Yeah, there's a old red wagon in there. What did she use it for? Did she like put garbage in it and wheel it out to the dumpster? I just don't know. I don't know. And there was a toilet in there. But the toilet's gone, so it was a tiny little bathroom in there. No toilet in there anymore, though. And unfortunately, the three part sink, right? So every restaurant has to have a sink that has three parts, the wash, the sanitize, and the rinse, right? So I'm obliged to go down there and wash my dishes in there. But I am terrified of going in there. And one time while I was washing my dishes in there, okay, so she, the prior owner, I assume, put a mirror up along the wall. So the sink is pushed up against the wall, and then there's a mirror above it. Okay, so you're washing your dishes, and of course I locked myself in there while I was in there with the dishes because I didn't want any surprises. I didn't want anybody to come in behind me. And so I'm washing my dishes, and I'm locked in there, and definitely something passed by me. I mean, the mirror is right there. I saw it in the mirror. I saw whatever. I didn't see a thing, but I felt it, and all the hair on my head stood up, and I just quickly turned off the water and left. Because, yikes.
You just, like, run out.
Yikes, like, yes. Yes, I ran out. I just turned off everything and put everything down and just left. I locked it. I went upstairs. I locked the door behind me, and I said, fuck that. Like, no.
How does it feel when you go down the stairs and up the stairs? Do you get a feeling of anything along the stairs?
Well, no, not usually. I tromp up and down those stairs. I do not tread lightly. I don't know why. It's weird. I feel, and I'm not always wearing my big boots, but, you know, but I like feel like tromp, tromp, tromp every time I go down them. I mean, it's loud, but it also is a... I don't know why. I feel like I'm just heavily banging up and down the stairs. Did somebody else always do that? I don't know. I don't know what it is, but that's how I feel there. Something weird happened where I had taken my menus down, old menus, and rolled them into a roll, and have a piece of paper around the roll with a rubber band around the piece of paper so that it doesn't like squinch in on the menus. And that came unfurled. The rubber band came off, and the paper came off, and the menus flapped open on the stairwell there. So that happened. And I said, okay, thank you. And I picked them up, and I rolled them back up, and I stuck them back on the shelf. So things like that happen sometimes. I have a bag of, like, throughout the week, I stuff my work rags into this bag and I have it on a shelf so I can take it home at the end of the week and wash them. That gets knocked off periodically. No, I say knocked off. I don't know. It's not jumping off, you know. It's not sprouting legs and jumping off. It's something is occurring to make, there's no wind back there. There's nothing that I can discern that would make that happen. I mean, I push it back on the shelf, you know, like back. It's not loosey-goosey hanging over the edge or anything like that. It's, I don't think it's gravity. I just don't think so. I just, but it'll spill off. It'll spill down the stairs. I'll have to go tromp down the stairs and pick up the rags and stuff them back in the bag and put them back on the shelf, push them way back.
What about the windows sliding open?
Oh, yeah. When I first took over the unit, that would happen. The window closest to the front of the building would spring open by itself. So these are those really old, is that beveled glass or something like that? So they're on a pulley system, which is very trippy. You can actually, someday I'll have to show you, you can see it. There's a panel up above the lights. If you move the panel, you can see the whole pulley system and you can see all the brick and mortar in there and everything is super old. So yeah, that window would just spring open by itself and people in the building would call me and go, hello, you know, you left your window open. Well, no, I did not leave my window open. But somebody opened it or maybe there was a vibration that jiggled the latch enough to make just that one roll up. Maybe. I don't know, but that happened a couple of times. I'm very careful to really jam that peg in there so that it doesn't roll up. But sometimes I feel like maybe the pharmacist is opening for service when I'm not there. Having that experience as a child made me more aware of energies or the possibility or you know, just beings without a body. I mean, later on, somebody somewhere along the line was like, oh, you know, you don't need to be prejudiced against them just because they don't have a body. And I was like, oh, I love that. I think that's that. I felt that. I was like, yeah, because they're probably still around. They just don't have a body. So why, you know, like, don't hate on them or something. I don't know. It just, that stuck with me. And so then I thought, yeah, that's, we're all sharing the space here. Some of us have bodies. Some of us don't have bodies anymore. So I think it's a collective, yes, curiosity and a collective acknowledgement in this building. I mean, there are probably some folks in this building. I know there are some more like conservative older folks that probably would not go along with it just for self-protection reasons. But I think that people of our generation and younger would agree that there are definite vibes in this building and nobody wants to be trapped in here at night alone. Nobody. And I think anybody who has a sensitivity or curiosity would agree that this building has got something going on.